following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Vamanos, muchachos! We ride!
Everyone knows how scary a flat tire can be. Imagine getting one at 100 miles an hour. Hi, I'm Sal Fish, CEO of the Score Baja 1000. Flat tires used to be a big problem for Baja racers, but with Slime Tire Sealant, flat tires are a thing of the past. Slime is the official tire sealant of the Baja 1000 because the bottom line is, if you get a flat, you lose. So listen, buy some slime, put it in your tires, and don't get caught flat.
Get your green slime at Pep Boys and Home Depot.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com,
as well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Oh, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. One thing about my golf game is I don't yell four as much as I used to. Because we sure the hell can't see where the ball's going, and, you know, well, it's over their head. Glad to have you along with us. Doug and Daddy Show, opening day of the British Open. And 1 week from today, we will be signing on from Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. It's getting here, folks. Closer and closer and closer. And Nebraska begins practice, just in case you weren't aware of this. August the 3rd is Fan Day. August the 4th is the first practice for the Big Red. And we'll have all the favorites like Sean Callahan's Big Red Reports, our Husker Lunches, our daily coverage, our Bo Pelini press conferences. It is right here. It is right now. And it may show up before we get a decent amount of rain. Enough rain came around, so the folks that got lucky last night over the rain, congratulations on that. And coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today, we're going to be talking with Scott Powers of ESPN Chicago, ESPN.com. Northwestern is our 12th team in 12-day. Number eight is our preview today. Next Wednesday, our Husker Roundtable to discuss Nebraska, so you won't want to miss that program. Plus, Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network is going to join us in the second half of the show and just talk about the Big Ten, Nebraska's place in it, getting ready for the second year, overall take with him and his band of analysts, and then we'll see a bunch of them in Chicago as well. Also, welcome in Mark Baldwin as our co-host of the program today, wearing his Colorado Rockies shirt.
Oh, yeah.
His Western ties still there, but living in southeast Nebraska. And for many of the folks that have been around our listening area for quite some time, I got to know Mark when he was a sports director and basically ran everything in Ogallala. And so big there. We'll get into that. Been a part of a couple of great moments in high school sports history in the state. And now he does not live in Ogallala, but still does a lot of work for the Indians, and obviously that's still the base of home. But he's done a lot of games for us.
Mm-hmm.
Postseason state tournament, has done some play-by-play, and you may recognize his voice from that if you have not been out in the Ogallala area. Welcome in, man.
Thanks, Doug, and what a great pleasure. You know, we've known each other for a long time. A
couple years.
Yeah, and this is it, the bucket list now. I've been on this show now, so that's pretty much it. Now I can go and be peaceful and
happy. I have a lot of pathetic friends.
You really do.
Because if you really want to be on the show that bad, but I appreciate that. And I was going to mention this to you. I don't know how much you talked with our producer, Jeff Babel, before the program. O'Neill boy, and is an acquaintance of one of our favorite people, Scott Posey.
Oh, yeah, really?
Now, how did that work out, Jeff, again? Did you ever, you got any Posey stories for us?
Do I have any Posey stories?
Yeah, because if you do, we want to know them, and we'd like to have them in hard copy,
too. We can do it during break. We'll do it during break.
Scott's a good guy.
Wow. We're going to talk to you about that, yeah. Uh-huh. He hasn't known him as long as we have, so.
Well, and tell the folks about yourself for the folks that don't know. Who the hell's Mark Baldwin? What's he doing on that program? What's he know? Well, we don't know if you know anything.
Well, absolutely nothing.
Man?
Otherwise, I wouldn't be with you. I started out in 1980 in sports back in Ogallala. In 1982, did my first volleyball play-by-play game when Ogallala played Sydney and Lincoln, which is kind of unusual because they were both from the West. But back then, we had two separate districts, and so Ogallala got to face Sydney. And then did play-by-play for many years, did the Ogallala Wahoo basketball game, which was a great moment of history when Ogallala finally stopped Wahoo's long string of wins. And that was something that you'll just never forget. And then from then on, just been doing volleyball, football, you know, all just like you, everything there is. And then about 7 years ago, decided that had enough of that, full time anyway, and got into the ministry. So I'm a Methodist minister now, serving two churches down in southeast Nebraska, and yet still dabble with high school sports every year, still do play-by-play. So I'm going on 30-some years now. So,
man, I can't believe you started when you were seven.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? Yeah, thank you. Well, that's the best compliment I've had yet, and it's only 5 minutes into the program.
If you want to be on the program today, if you want to email us, maybe you know Mark, want to jab him or give us a story, that'd be great. As well, look out the window right there. Check that out. That Husker black shirt wrap just driving by the studio here. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. Must be on a Midway vehicle. That's the only way it would be that cool. But here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the program, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
When does it just become the Doug Show?
No.
That's what I want to know. It's never going to be just the Doug Show.
So they have the Dan Patrick Show and the Colin Cowherd Show.
But never.
That's when it would become the Doug Show.
Okay. All right.
We've had some suggestions. Doug Duda, they could name it the Double D Show. And
yeah.
Think of the marketing possibilities.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's not go there. Okay, so.
Let's check the leaderboard at the British Open, folks.
Let's do that. Where's our British Open music? Haven't you got the British Open Colin Cowherd, Benny Hill music for that?
That would require a producer that, you know, he's
We're working with the young man. Come on now. I mean, now I've had only 5 minutes with him, so give me some time, you know.
Adam Scott, 6 under par 64. A lot of the guys that finished up earlier this morning are the ones at the top of the leaderboard. Of Paul Lowry, Zach Johnson, a shot back at 5 under par. You've got Toshinori Muto, who just birdied to go to 4 under with Nicholas Kolsarts. And they are both at 4 under, making the turn. Ernie Els, Bubba Watson, Graham McDowell, Tiger Woods, all in the clubhouse at 3 under. Keegan Bradley, playing his first British Open, is 3 under through 11 holes. And then you start to get into some names that you don't recognize a lot of. There is Rory McIlroy sitting at 2 under. Phil Mickelson has just went to 2 over. He has had a disastrous stretch over the last 4 holes. He was at 1 under. Now he's at 2 over. You watch the British Open. Who do you root for? Are you a... It's usually yes, Tiger, no, Tiger, but who are you rooting for out there?
I'm a Tiger Woods guy, so I'm rooting for him, but I also do not believe this is his time yet. You know, he's there, but not quite. I believe that you're going to see somebody new again. You know, we've had all this, these new people win these major championships this year, and Bubba Watson impressed me. You know, he won the Masters and then really has had some struggles, and he said this morning, you know, it's about time maybe I don't try to hit it as just long ways, and then, you know, and he's trying to play a little more conservative. That could help him. Adam Scott, he's a tremendous golfer. But I think it's going to be one of these guys that we don't know a whole lot about. They're going to sneak up there. Rory has had a terrible year, and maybe, just maybe, he'll come through. But Tiger, you know, I'm rooting for him, but tomorrow, you know, he shoots really good today. You know, tomorrow he could shoot a 75 and be completely out of it. So.
But he never does that. When he gets off to a good start, you have to look at it, and this is a good start.
Yeah, and he will, and he'll be right in the thick of things, but I just don't know. His putting's got to be as good as it was today. He made some wonderful putts, 10 to 15, which he's been really struggling with this year, on and off. When he's been on, he wins. When he's been off, it's terrible. So we'll see what happens.
And you look at that leaderboard, though, you've got some names on there. I mean, just like we said, Scott, Zach Johnson,
well, yeah.
Bernie Els, Bubba Watson, Graham McDowell, Tiger, McElroy making his way up the board there. Peter Hansen is 200 through 7. Here's a guy you hear about until Sunday, and then he falls off the face
right.
of the. But all those guys, it's not like Tiger and the guys that are three or four back are chasing Muto.
Right, exactly. And Zach Johnson just came off a great win, you know, so he's got the momentum. But I also believe that, got to remember, he had a short turnaround, so I think he's going to start fading as the days go on. Because this weather out here, you know, and Phil's been struggling. Oh, now he's three over. He's been everywhere but in the fairway. He's been in bunkers. He's been in deep grass. He's really struggled. And he's struggled all year this year. Now let's see if he makes this. Now look at that. And he puts one in from off the green. So thanks, Phil.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Look, but that's the crazy game of golf. Phil Mickelson, but two double bogeys in his round. Checking a couple of the other world of sports news off the top of the broadcast, because then we're going to get into some football. And if you've got questions that you would like to ask our guests or ask us, please send us an email, shoot us a Facebook, whatever you want to do. We haven't been plugging the Facebook a whole lot here lately, and we should be doing that. You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com, and while you're there, you can like us on Facebook, join up. You can listen to the podcast, any of the teams that we've talked about, any of the interviews we've had, not just from the last week or month, but what, a year, 6 months? There's a ton of them up there. Anything you missed, maybe an interview that you wanted to hear, but we've talked about Illinois and Minnesota and Purdue and Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. If you want to get a little more information, missed our interviews, that's the place that you will want to go. And you can vote on our poll question as well at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our poll question yesterday, are the Chicago White Sox a better team without Ozzie Guillen?
Yes.
77% of you said yes, 23% said no. Now, did you really? No. See, this, no. Here's our question. Who do you think will win the leaders division as we preview? Okay, yeah, and then we have to tell you who's in the leaders division. But did you really put Indiana as a choice? That just seems like a waste of time, Jeffrey.
You know, I did it, and then our former producer Merritt said he was going to vote for Indiana. So there
so
are people out
vote.
There that will vote for Indiana that I had to put them in there.
Well, you think about it now, Penn State's probably going to be out.
You got Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Purdue, Indiana, Illinois. Those are the teams that are in there. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, Wisconsin. Ohio State can still win the leaders' division. It's just that they're not going to Indianapolis.
Right. So, and they're probably going to have the best record in that division. So now you look at Wisconsin, and then you look at Penn State. Will they be playing football this year? I doubt it. So now you're looking at Wisconsin, and then who?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I want to get to that point in just a minute. Give me your pick, and folks, you can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who do you got?
Well, I would take Wisconsin. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Ohio State may have the best record in that division, but they're not going to get to go to play, so I think it's going to be Wisconsin. And, yes, Wisconsin has their rotating quarterback situation. You never know, but I just think they're going to be the better team.
Out of Wisconsin's first eight games, the only game that's even going to be somewhat competitive is at Nebraska.
Exactly.
Northern Iowa, they did draw at Oregon State, which now they got to be going, Utah State, UTEP, Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota. Now, Nebraska at Nebraska is their first conference game, but then it's Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota, Michigan State at home,
mm-hmm.
at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a definite chance they could be undefeated
yes.
if they can come to Lincoln to win. Then they have to host Ohio State, but it's at home
mm-hmm.
and at Penn State in the Probation Bowl. Everybody's going to take Wisconsin. Nate Bauer really kind of sold me on Penn State. I just think mentally it's going to be a lot to overcome. Now, the thing said about that, if they get through all the stuff in that first month when it's non-conference, get through that and everything that people want to say about the football program will have settled down, and like we say, winning cures all, I think Penn State definitely has a schedule that they can win that division, and they've got talent. But boy, oh boy, oh boy.
What if they're not playing football?
Oh.
What if they get the death penalty?
And Ohio State's going to be darn good.
Yeah. I don't know your thoughts about that.
I don't understand how you could give the death penalty to Penn State tomorrow. Because now, not only are you affecting Penn State, you are affecting everybody on their schedule. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The death penalty is insane.
Yeah.
If the NCAA cannot give the death penalty to Penn State, okay? They can because they do stupid stuff all the time.
Yes, yes.
But you can't do that. You cannot do that.
Well, you go back. Okay, so who's the other team that got the death penalty?
SMU.
SMU. Now, what did they do to get the death penalty?
They cheated.
Right.
financially
right.
to gain an advantage on the football field.
Right. This is absolutely nothing like that. They broke laws, okay? Not NCAA laws, even though there will be.
Well, and that's the whole thing, Mark, because when they're investigating here, I want to know what they're looking at. And I still haven't been able to figure out, because they haven't started that yet, what they're looking at, because they can only be looking at breaking
exactly.
laws and sanctions.
So here's my point. NCAA needs to stay out of it. Okay? The court of law is taking care of that. The court of law and the public will take care of that. The NCAA probably doesn't have any jurisdiction over this. Yeah.
They think they do.
They do. And if they do, and if they come in, yes, there's going to be all sorts of... how much power does Jim Delaney have? Now, we're going to talk about this, I hope, a little bit, because I heard this morning coming in that they're talking about giving him some power to fire coaches. Okay, so how much power does he have? Can he, as the Big Ten commissioner, say to the NCAA, I think they need to be punished? All right, well, then who's going to listen to them? You know, how much power is there in the NCAA? Presidents have a lot of say.
Well, and I think the whole Penn State, whatever the punishment is, they can go to institutional control, which I can understand because obviously that...
There was no control.
Yeah, you could have, well, here's the latest. As part of the fallout from the Penn State scandal, and this comes from Brian Bennett, ESPN.com, Big Ten blogger, the Big Ten could soon give Commissioner Jim Delaney and the Presidential Leadership Council the power to fire coaches who abuse their power. That's according to a report this morning in the Chronicle of Higher Education, which says the league is working on an 18-page plan to prevent problems like the Penn State mess in the future. One of the proposals would give Delaney and the league's 12-member Council of Presidents and Chancellors the ability to penalize individual members of an institution should their actions significantly harm the league's reputation. Sanctions could include financial penalties, suspension, or termination of employment. Mm-hmm. They also report that the Big Ten is still trying to figure out what to do with Penn State, with one league president telling the publication that removing the school from the conference could be considered.
Okay, now, wait a minute now. All right. So, if you remove them from the conference, then where do they go? Do they become independent? Do they become, what happens to them then?
The president at Iowa, Sally Mason, said, quote, "This whole situation is unprecedented. It's sports related, but there were very significant moral, legal, and institutional failures," end quote. That comes from the president at Iowa.
Well, okay, so if you remove them, now you've got that. Now you're talking about you can't give them the death penalty because what's it going to do for the schedules and everything? Well, if you remove them from the Big Ten, what's it going to do for your schedules? I mean, this all hinges upon can anything be done for this season? Probably not.
I can't see the Big Ten doing anything crazy because you're cutting off your own foot. You know,
yeah, financially, too.
Your toe hurts, so you cut off the foot. Well, that doesn't make any sense. 888-455-ESPN. When we come back, we're going to talk Northwestern Wildcat football and maybe a little Chicago Bears. Scott Powers, ESPNChicago.com. When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Mark Baldwin co-hosting today. And when you're relaxing, folks, Bruce Furniture is the place to check out, whether it's in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, or Alliance, which is out in your neck of the woods there, Marcus. Mm. Bruce Furniture. They will haul in the new furniture. They'll haul out the old furniture. If it's good old furniture, they'll even give you a price for it, because right now Bruce Furniture takes your trade-ins on in-home pieces that still have some life in them. Maybe you want to take them to your kid's apartment, or you want to take it to the auction, or it's time to go to the dump. It doesn't matter. Bruce Furniture is going to do all that for you. All you have to do is check them out. BruceFurniture.com. Stop in and see them. Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. They're just right for you at Bruce Furniture. And we're back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You know, Greeny, those La Quinta people are geniuses.
How so, Mensa man?
They've got this new instant hold mobile feature that lets you hold a room at the last minute with just one finger and your phone number.
That is really smart.
It's a whole new ballgame, and all you have to do is punch in your phone number using your smartphone.
No credit card number?
Nope.
No mother's maiden name?
No.
No your pet's first name?
No.
No surfing squirrels?
No. Wait, what?
I was just making sure you were paying attention.
La Quinta Inns and Suites take care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next stay on your smartphone at LQ.com.
Hey, man. Just want to say thanks for helping me move.
Whoa, are you giving me a thank you present?
What? Guys don't give guys thank you presents. These are just the new loaded cheddar and bacon potato skin ruffles. They taste like actual delicious potato skins, melted cheese and all.
So they're not a thank you present?
Of course not. Wait, are you crying?
No. It's just the nicest non-thank you present I've ever gotten.
Ruffles. Snack like you mean it.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
The Kearney Country Club invites you to register today for their annual Coors 4-Person Golf Scramble August 4th and 5th. Your entry fee includes two rounds of golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, and four complimentary drink tickets. Friday includes a practice round and 6 p.m. shootout. Get your entries in today for the preferred tee time of 8 a.m. or 1:30 p.m. Saturday, with everyone going Sunday at 10. You can download an entry form at ESPNSuperstation.com or call the Pro Shop to enter your team in the annual Coors 4-Person Golf Scramble at the Kearney Country Club.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. After a slow start, the Angels finished the first half closing the gap with the Rangers.
To left, that one way back, and that one is gone. Home run, Albert Pujols.
Now they go head-to-head at Angels Stadium of Anaheim.
Turning, looking, gone. Home run, Josh Hamilton.
Major League Baseball on ESPN is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, where unlimited wings are back for a limited time. Angels and Rangers, Saturday at 3, Sunday night at 7 on ESPN.
As sunny skies continue across the area today, we'll top off at around 100 for a high with southeast winds from 5 to 15. Then we'll stay with a clear sky tonight with a low in the upper 60s with light east winds. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 90.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Yes, rain would be a good thing. A rain out somewhere along the way would be a good thing. That has not been a problem with the baseball boys. We'll get to Legion Baseball. Had a couple more state qualifiers last night, and a few more tournaments get underway today. Mark Baldwin co-hosting with me, Doug Duda, on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. It's time for 12 teams in 12 days.
It's that time, 12 teams in 12 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 26th through the 28th. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Legends Division for today's team.
Northwestern.
The Wildcats.
It's time for 12 teams in 12 days, now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Oh, we're going to talk about that team that still makes the stomachs churn throughout Nebraska. But they weren't able to overly capitalize on that after the fact. Right down the middle of the road, had to battle through some injuries with Dan Persa, and we got to see a couple of their quarterbacks, and they will have Kane Coulter back and to talk Northwestern, maybe even a little Bears football today. Scott Powers from ESPNChicago.com, got a chance to chat with him a couple of times last season, and Scott, great to have you back on the Doug and Daddy Show. How's it going?
Good. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good. I know there's so much for you to cover and take care of the business. Is it too early to be looking at Northwestern?
I guess Big Ten Media Days are next week, so it's never too early. But it's right around the corner. So now let's talk some Northwestern football.
Last season, big win at Lincoln, but overall, how would you have categorized Northwestern season? As we mentioned, up and down injury-wise, up and down on the field, went 6-7 with the bowl loss. Pat Fitzgerald should be settled in, obviously, after six seasons of what he wants. Where are the Wildcats?
Yeah, last year was disappointing. Obviously, that Nebraska win was definitely the high point by far. I think they were humbled a little bit by last year. I think going in last season, they thought they were really going to be special, and they thought maybe they could compete for the Big Ten, and they felt like people were really sleeping on them, and it just never really went as planned. You know, the Persa injury hurt, but there were other problems with that team, and they had a lot of defensive problems, especially in the secondary, and got beat a lot, and to go into another bowl game and lose again. I don't think the program really took a step forward yesterday. Probably took a few steps back. They had some momentum going into last year, and they, like I said, I think they were overconfident, and I'm not sure if that's the reason why they started, last year happened, but it was definitely a kind of humbling season for them.
So you think you'll go in a little bit more humbler this year, and maybe they're not going to set their goals so high as it was going into the season last year?
I don't know if the goals changed, but I think how they approach them or just I'm not sure if it's a different team. You know, it's a younger team. It's you know I think Dan Persick kind of allowed them to have some confidence and. You know, Ken Coulter, I think there's still some question marks. I think Nebraska saw how talented he can be at different positions, but it's you've yet to see if he can be a quarterback, you know, a complete quarterback and do that just by himself. So I think, you know, his possibilities of playing other positions are there, but, you know, they're still not, I don't think they're completely confident in their backup quarterback. So I think he's their starter going into the season, and I'm not sure if they, you know, if the possibility's there, they'll use him at other positions. But right now he's a starter, and so I think you know expectations are there. I think that you know the first goal is they need to win a bowl game. I think that's you know that's definitely a hurdle for them as a program and recruiting. And you know when if somebody can knock Northwestern, that's the one thing. Still, it's been you know it's been since 1949, so it's been a while. So I think that's number one goal. And then you know obviously the Big Ten, it's it'll be grueling for them again. But it's Northwestern's program and it needs that bowl game before it can move on from anything else. I think.
Scott Powers, ESPN Chicago, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And for the fans out there that didn't realize it, Coulter was the leading rusher last year for this team. What will they do offensively, Scott? Because there's no stud running back or one pretty good wide receiver. It looks like the offense has a lot of work to do. And will, I mean, Purse is a kid that stood back there and can chuck it around. Do they have to change their philosophy going on with the talent they have?
No, I think it's going to be similar. Their wide receiver position is probably the deepest position they have on the team. They lose Jeremy Ebert, who is obviously their stud, but you know they bring back four receivers that all you know some major time last year, and there's a possibility they may get USC commit or USC transfer Cal Prater eligible. He's going for one of those hardship waivers, so. You know, Demetrius Fields, Christian Jones, Tony Jones, Rashad Lawrence, these are all guys that played last year and caught a lot of passes. So I think there's a lot of depth there. Coulter's passing ability is the question. He's been inconsistent. He hasn't had to throw a whole lot in his career. So I think some of that will come down to that. Their backfield, you know, it hasn't really been great in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. Mike Trumpy's the guy that's been played the best the last few years, but he's, you know, he hasn't been able to stay on the field. And there have been a lot of question marks there, so I think, you know, if they can ever get that going, it obviously opens their passing game up a little bit more, but that's definitely been an inconsistency for them.
Scott, let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball. That has always been a problem for the Wildcats. Will it be getting any better this year?
I think it's more of a focus, and I think they realized some of the mistakes last year. Some of them just became even communication errors, and that secondary definitely had some huge problems. You know, they have a safety last year, Ibrahim Campbell, who led the team in tackles as a freshman and showed a lot of potential. And they actually got a transfer from Stanford who's eligible right away, Quinn Evans, who should give them some more protection there. And then secondary, you know, the line and linebackers, there's some guys back there. I think it's hard to say right now. I think it's definitely, kind of raised some eyebrows last year, some of the problems they had and brought some attention to it. Whether they can fix it, it's hard to tell at this point, I think.
What's the most exciting recruit you're looking at this year as you start the season?
You know, they brought in a couple nice guys. You know, obviously, I think you know the Prater transfer was huge. I mean, this is the type of kid that the Northwestern has never had on. You know, he was a top 25, top 50 kid. I can't recall, but he was a big time recruit coming out of Chicago. You know, big receiver, 6'5", and. You know, went to USC and things didn't work out there, and came back home. You know, for family reasons, and you know if they can get him eligible, it's huge. And then I know they had the I think number 6 defensive end in the country that transferred them last year. I can't always pronounce his name, but it's he. I don't know if he's a guy that can have an instant impact, but you know down the road, I think Odunigbo or something. But he's someone, and they had a pretty strong recruiting class again with some nice offensive linemen. They'll probably. You know, take a few years, but you know, Northwestern's been growing on that. I think the recruiting's been improving in some of those areas, and you know, they get a top 150 kid like they did with the defensive end. That's big for them. So, I think it's going forward. You know, if they can get Prater eligible, that'd be huge. And you know, it's the type of kid that they just haven't had, in a long time.
Talking with Scott Powers of ESPN Chicago here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Mark Baldwin co-hosting on the program today. You talked about the strength of the wide receiver core. Demetrius Fields leads that core. Talk a little bit about him and how good he can be.
Yeah, it's a very consistent core, I think, and that's the key. You know, I don't think any of them wow you individually. There's a couple there that can make some nice plays, but I think Fields is very consistent, and that's what they've had in this offense, is that, you know, guys that can get open and that spread offense. There's multitude of them. So I'm not sure if he's good as Jeremy Eber. Jeremy Eber was a pretty good one, but you know, he kind of steps into that place. And I think it may even be a few more guys. Right? I don't know if they're going to hit somebody like they did like Ebert as much, but I think with Fields and Lawrence and a couple Jones receivers, I think that it may be a deeper offense than it was last year, at least in the wide receiver. And a couple of those guys are pretty young as freshmen and sophomores. So I think if that's where Northwestern is going to succeed, it's going to be, you know, if Coulter can find those guys and you know, they'll be open. So I think if Coulter can get it to him, I think Northwestern has a chance to do some things in offense.
I'm curious about a report that came out this morning that the Big Ten could give Commissioner Jim Delaney and some Presidential Leadership Council the power to fire coaches who abuse their power. What are your thoughts on that this morning?
I haven't even seen that, but that's interesting. I don't know, that seems like a stretch to me. I mean, I think it should be probably allowed at the schools, and I think the schools should make those decisions. I mean, it's sort of sad that if the schools aren't able to make those decisions, you know, if they get too blurry by everything. So, yeah, I don't know if I like that. I mean, I'm sure they just want to cover their necks if something does go wrong and the schools aren't willing to, you know, take accountability. But that seems a bit of a stretch to me, allowed to have the commissioner be able to do that.
A couple of our typical questions with every guest that we have, talking about every team here in the Big Ten Conference before we head to Chicago. Northwestern starts the season at Syracuse, then three home games with Vanderbilt, Boston College, South Dakota. Maybe none of them are top 25 programs this year, but when you got Syracuse, Vanderbilt, and Boston College, these are teams that are all at some point or another getting used or have been getting used to winning, especially with Vanderbilt getting better, and Boston College has had a pretty good run. And then the key stretch in the conference, if they can survive to the last three games, they've got back-to-back road games at Michigan, at Michigan State. Scott, what is your July prediction here for Northwestern?
I think a lot of it's going to be defined by what happens in that early stretch there. I think you'll know a lot about this team, you know, as much as they, you know, I think as much as that schedule gets tougher, and I mean, some of it will be defined by how they do against Vandy, against Boston College, and, you know, they've struggled against Syracuse at times. So, you know, some of the early in the season, Indiana and Penn State, Minnesota, I mean, those are possible games they can compete in, and obviously Nebraska is going to be tough, and then, that, like you said, that stretch, and then, you know, Illinois may be down even this close of season, but that's still a rivalry game. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think I have huge expectations for this team this year. I think it's a bit of a transition year with the quarterback and some of the young guys. I think, you know, if they can go somewhere near 500 in the Big Ten, and, you know, if they can win, you know, three of the four non-conference games or split those, I think those are realistic expectations at this point.
And, Scott, we've been discussing this as well. Who do you think is going to win the Leaders and the Legends division? Who will be the two best teams? And I throw Ohio State in there, even though they can't go to the championship game. But you think that they could be the best team? I'll leave that up to you. Who's going to be winning both divisions this year?
Ah, man, it's I always hate this question.
that's why we ask it. Get the professional opinion.
Oh, God. I don't know. You got to think Ohio State's going to bounce back from last season. I don't know if they're going to bounce back that hard. And, you know, Wisconsin obviously changing quarterbacks. And, I'm going to go with Wisconsin again. And I think, I think Michigan's going to take that step this year. I think they're going to pull it through. But I'm sure I'm completely wrong. So.
Well, Nebraska fans hope. Nebraska fans hope you are. I guess we better ask you about that. Nebraska fans still scratching their head about that game. Does that still resonate with Northwestern fans at all?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that was definitely the defining moment of last season. You know, that team was struggling and it had some problems. You know, going into that game and certainly it changed things around, and it was definitely an exciting game for that fan base to, you know, get behind, and obviously the season really didn't pan out after that. So it was the moment when you look back in 2011, that's what, you know, that was definitely the high point, and the rest of it was pretty disappointing for that team. So, I think, you know, I'm sure that's going to be one of the bigger games in Northwestern history from here on forward. How's Jordan Westerkamp? Is he getting a chance of any time this year?
I know they're looking forward to putting him in. There hasn't just been a whole lot of talk about it lately, but everybody's fired up about that young man coming out here. And there is, last I checked, it's not like he's an automatic redshirt or anything like that. And knowing what Nebraska needs to get done from the wide receiver position, they couldn't have been more thrilled to pick that young man up.
Yeah, he was our player of the year for ESPN Chicago. I mean, we've had some decent receivers come through here, and he was one of the better ones I've ever witnessed. I mean, he just had such an ability to get open and really, really get those balls. I mean, some tough balls. And you know, I last year's state championship game, him and a kid from Joliet Catholic, Ty Isaac, who's going to USC, put on the two best individual performances I've ever seen. I think Westerkamp had like 300 yards receiving, and Ty Isaac had 500 yards rushing. I mean, it was incredible. So I've always liked Westerkamp. I think he's a good kid, and I think he's an amazing receiver. And I thought I thought the state schools, really, it was a shame that they allowed him to get out of here. But I always thought he can be a big time receiver, and hopefully he does it in Nebraska.
Well, I know Husker fans, we need somebody. Husker fans need somebody like that on this team, and hopefully he pans out. Last minute with Scott Powers, ESPN Chicago. We have a lot of folks that I know are going to be making that trip out to Chicago for the Nebraska game and trying to couple it. Even though it's a Monday night game, folks want to stay over and catch the Bears and the Lions. We got a ton of Bear fans in this part of the world, Scott. It's going to be tough. I can't even remember which player said they were the best in the division here this week, but obviously that might not be the case. But they always find a way. When you think they're not going to do anything, they do, and vice versa. What's your thoughts on what the Bears have this year?
I think the expectations are pretty high. You know, they just signed Matt Forte to a long-term deal this week, and there was that possibility of him holding out. So I think that solidifies the offense. And then the Bears added Brandon Marshall, and it's that's a wide receiver they haven't probably ever had. You know, you have a quarterback like Cutler that the Bears have never had, and then you throw in a receiver like Marshall where the possibilities are there, and I think that's key. And the defense, it's gotten older, but I think they still rely on Briggs and Urlacher. So I think there's a lot of hope here. You know, I think a lot of Bears fans are hopeful that this team can really do it. And I think, you know, that Forte deal is big, and it really impacts that offense. So I think the expectations are high. Whether they'll come through, you never know with them. But definitely people are excited around here about it.
I'll throw you one more curveball because we talked about it on the show yesterday. Are the White Sox better off without Ozzie Guillen?
I think it was just time for everyone to go. Last year the relationships got really strained. You know, he was critical, and his relationship with Kenny Williams, the GM, was getting rocky and even worse. And it was time for him to move on. It was time for the Sox. And I think what he did with this White Sox, especially winning the World Series, will never be forgotten. And him as a player, that he'll always have a special place in the Sox fans' hearts. But yeah, he had to go. And obviously Ventura was a strange move, him having no managerial experience. But he's panned out, and he's kind of been that complete opposite to Ozzie, where he's kind of low key and really doesn't talk a whole lot. So I think that's helped with this team, where it's kind of allowed them to relax. And then and a lot of things have happened that, it may have happened even with Ozzie here. Adam Dunn's bounced back in a big time, and Jake Peavy's had a huge season for once, within a White Sox uniform. So a lot of things have happened like that. But, I think the move from Ozzie to Robin was big for this team this year.
Well, Scott, we appreciate the time you've given us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you in Chicago. I know there's a lot to cover, and that makes it an exciting town. So thanks for talking a little Northwestern football with us. We'll see you next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Scott Powers joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Mark Baldwin joining in. Well, that's got to be – hey, Bear fans, he likes where they're at. So I still think Vikings – and
yeah.
Then you're going with the Packers and the improved Lions.
And it's a do-or-die season for Lovie Smith. I mean, it really is. I mean, he's had so many chances. And I like him. And, of course, I love the Bears. So I hope that they do well.
But your favorite team?
No.
Favorite
no,
team is?
No. Well, my favorite team is the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can tell I've been through a lot of rough years. So
emotional issues.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's coming out, yeah.
Baseball team?
My favorite baseball team are the Cincinnati Reds. have been ever since I was a little kid. And, you know, of course, I'm close to the Royals and the Rockies, yeah. but I love the Reds, and I hope that this year, especially now that Colin said they're not going to be a World Series contender, I'm right there pushing them on, but they'll be in the playoffs. So.
British Open update coming your way here in just a little bit. Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network is going to join us. Mark Baldwin's my co-host, who has spent most of his life in Ogallala. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Cody says, as a nephew of Coach Etzel Miller, I wonder what is the best memory that Mark has had with his time with Coach Etz, who, of course, unfortunately passed here the last year. But
yeah, well, you know, he came when I was been through a lot of basketball coaches out there. He made a tremendous impact right away. Kids respected him. He was the kind of coach that Ogallala needed. He and I were very close friends. I remember the season that we ran through and, of course, got to Wahoo. And, you know, everything was pointed that way. And that was a huge emotional win for not just him but for our team. And then, of course, the next night we have to play Lincoln Pius X for the state championship. And after playing one of the best games in history, you just can't get up for it. And we got, you know, kind of got thumped there. But, you know, Etz was he was just a great guy. I really miss him. He wasn't the kind of coach that was soft-spoken. We always had a bet as to how long it would take to get a tee in every game. But you know what? He had the passion for the game. And, you know, even from where he came from, to Ogallala, where he went from there on, he carried that passion through. And I'll remember him as a special man.
Well, we'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Love to have your emails, your phone calls, all here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. And don't forget all of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK, two locations in Kearney. Also, Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Maybe a little lighter side. Check out one of their salads today at BK. We're back after this.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Experts say the less-than-terrific economy has spawned a new trend toward value and saving money. Well, I guess that would officially make Motel 6, still the home of clean, comfortable rooms for the lowest price of any national chain, way ahead of the curve. Being smart with your money has never been cooler, and if being hip and trendy is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'm Tom Baudette for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you. Book online at motel6.com.
Whoa, it's one of those storm tracker vehicles.
And it looks like he's got Goodyear tires for superior handling in challenging weather.
Well, it's a good thing we both got Goodyears in conditions like these.
True, but we're in a car wash.
Hear that? Storm's getting worse.
That's just the hot wax.
Receive up to $80 off with mail-in rebate when you buy four select Goodyear tires between July 1st, 2012 and August 31st, 2012. Certain conditions and restrictions apply. See retailer for complete details. Goodyear, more driven.
There are happy hours, and then there are HK happy hours. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to take advantage of the best happy hours around. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you get a buck off all long necks. Thursdays, it's $1.50 pints. Fridays, all drinks are half price from 3 to 6. And on Saturdays, tackle our $2.50 24-ounce big cans of beer. On Sundays, it's 11-buck 100-ounce towers and 12-buck buckets. And remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better direct-to-you VIP offers and monthly gift card drawings.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, they offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts, subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As sunny skies continue across the area today, we'll top off at around 100 for a high with southeast winds from 5 to 15. Then we'll stay with a clear sky tonight with a low in the upper 60s with light east winds. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 90.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, and the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the number one volume size A dealer in the Midwest. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, the number one volume Chevy dealer in Central Nebraska. And they are also the best, according to you, named the best new and used car dealer in Kearney and by the Kearney Hub Readers for the Reader's Choice Awards. In case you're not in the marketplace for a new car, you can browse the pre-owned stock for great deals on used cars, trucks, and SUVs. The convenient used automobile dealerships are stocked with high-quality used vehicles. Plus, they have a simple credit approval process, and maybe you're not even in the market for a vehicle. We'll take care of yours. Don't forget the Mopar Express Lane and GM Quick Lane. No appointment is necessary. Get a 30-minute oil change for less than $30, plus a free 27-point inspection and car wash. They do it all for you, and they're jacked up for cruise night. It all starts tonight. They've got the show and shine, the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram going on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And we are back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mark Baldwin, our co-host for the program today. We're 1 week away from heading to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Always like to find out a little bit more. We have our ideas, Mark, of what these teams are supposed to be like. Opinion always changes on two teams when we come back, whether it was when we went to Big 12 Media Days or last year at Big 10. Opinion always changes. You go, wait a minute, these guys aren't going to be that good, and wait a minute, these guys might be a little bit better than they thought.
Yeah, and I think you're going to find out getting down there that there's going to be a few surprises. You know, you look at our Legends League, and, you know, we talk about Northwestern. I don't think they're going to be the dark horse. But there's a few teams over there. And, you know, Iowa. Iowa's always a possibility. Yeah, I know. And then you look at the leaders, and we've talked about that already. You never know over there either.
Well, this morning, the Doak Walker Award preseason watch list out. 7 Big Ten running backs are on that, including Nebraska's Rex Burkhead, one of the Heisman finalists from last year, Monty Ball among those, James White of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has 2 of them on there for the Doak Walker list. Next week, we're in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, and we're pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from the Big Ten Network, Dave Revson. Dave, thanks for giving us some time this morning. How you doing?
I'm great, Doug. Mark, how are you guys?
Well, we're doing great. It's so great to have you on, and we're anticipating our second trip through the Big Ten and Big Ten Media Days, because let's face it, all the media and anybody that had anything to do with Nebraska football, they were all like rookies last year. How do you think the rookies from Nebraska handled it?
Oh, I thought they handled it great. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was fun. I mean, it was just a totally different experience. Obviously, the passion is so deep, and it was just neat to see, you know, half the state, it seems, certainly all of the state's media descending on Chicago. So it was pretty cool, and you know, I know it was a bit of an adjustment for Nebraska fans to kind of get used to these new rivalries, and obviously a bit of an adjustment for the team as well. Not as good a year maybe as they had hoped to have, but I think this will be the year of normalcy for the media and Nebraska football. I think it's going to be a really good year.
How would you rate Nebraska in its first year of the Big Ten? I mean, how would you rate them overall?
I thought a little disappointing. I mean, I do think that in hindsight, it maybe was not fair to think that they could step right in and win a division. You know, it is very hard to scout 8 new opponents going into a year. You just have no history to work off of. You can't say, okay, we're playing Northwestern this week. We're going to do kind of what we always do against them, but we're going to have, you know, these adjustments. There is no what we always do against them. Everything's new. And I just think, I think I worked against Nebraska in basketball as well. I just think it's hard when you're facing a bunch of new teams and all they have to do is get ready for one new team. I think it's hard to hit the ground running. So I was disappointed, frankly, in Nebraska. I think injuries hurt them, particularly on defense. You know, Crick, I think, was a huge loss. But again, I just would be shocked were we to see that again this year. I think this could be a good Nebraska team.
Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Obviously, the two big stories when the media get all over the folks in Chicago are going to be Urban Meyer showing up for Ohio State, and then obviously Penn State. Dave, I guess from a journalistic standpoint, how are the folks at the Big Ten Network going to handle the Penn State situation? Because a lot of people want to talk some football, at least a little bit, and we know that that's 95% of not what people are going to want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, from our point of view, we're certainly going to talk about it. We already had a show on it last week. We certainly talked about it quite a bit in November when the story broke, but we have a lot more clarity now. We know a lot more based on the free report. So we're going to talk about it and say, you know, certainly our analysts did not hold back at all in expressing their thoughts. When we spoke about it last week, they will continue to do so when appropriate. Obviously, the bulk of what we do is kind of the on-the-field stuff, but I think it would be naive to think that you can cover the Penn State story this year and not spend a great deal of your time talking about everything that's gone down in the past there. And so we have already and will continue to do so.
And that brings up the report this morning that Jim Delaney and the president's leadership council might have the power to fire coaches.
Yeah, I saw that, Doug. Interesting. I mean, I guess my take on that is, after seeing what was in the free report and seeing the way that the administration at Penn State handled this situation, according to that report, then I don't think it's unreasonable to say that someone else is, if they can't police themselves, if they can't understand that the way that they're handling this is so grossly wrong, and, that they are just completely out of whack here and have lost perspective, then I guess the next resort is for there to be someone else overseeing them, for them to understand that, well, if we can't handle this responsibility of being in charge and making responsible decisions, then someone else is going to have to. So I don't think that this is something that I haven't spoken to Jim Delaney about, it, obviously, so I don't think this would be something he would want to do or relish doing. But I think when you are in a position of responsibility and you see the people who are trusted in these positions failing so miserably, that maybe that's the next logical step. I don't know.
Now, will that lead into your thoughts about what should happen with Penn State? Should the NCAA get involved? Should there be a death penalty? What should happen beyond this?
I don't know. I don't really know what I don't think I've really reached a conclusion on that yet. I think it's going to be really uncomfortable for them to play football there this year. I mean, I think that's going to be tough. If that's what they want to do, okay. It's a bit of a murky area, and I'm just not sure exactly, what I think. But something has to happen. I mean, you can't just go on and say this is business as usual. I think it would be great if it were Penn State that initiated it, whatever it would be. Maybe it's taking every last dollar of proceeds for, a certain period of time, whether it be this year or 2 years or however long it would be, and donating them to, victims of abuse. I mean, I think that would be a step in the right direction. I guess I just feel like they need to do something, and they need to do it pretty soon here, because as each day passes, there's more and more of discussion about it and more of an uproar about it, and I just feel like to kind of let it go by and to let others control the dialogue is the wrong decision to make. You have to do something.
Dave Revson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio as Big Ten Media Days 1 week away. You can check that out, watch it on the Big Ten Network. Dave, any other storylines that you really want to dig into when you get to Chicago, whether it's an overall or just something maybe personally you're interested in?
I think the new coaches is really interesting. You guys were talking about Urban Meyer before. Obviously, there's a lot of fascination, I think, around what Urban Meyer at Ohio State's going to mean. I think some of these other guys are interesting as well. The new assistant coaches at Iowa, the new coordinator, something Kirk Ferentz hasn't had in his entire tenure there. A new staff, essentially, at Wisconsin, other than the head coach. You have six new assistant coaches there, so I think that's an interesting one as well. And obviously, Tim Beckman at Illinois. So I think the coaching changes are something I'm going to keep an eye on. And everyone, the fact that Joe Paterno is no longer at Penn State and Bill O'Brien's taking over, I mean, a massive transition. I think that's secondary as far as the Penn State story, to say the least. But it is still intriguing. You've never had a coach, I would argue, come into as difficult a situation as O'Brien's coming into. So interested to see that, just in general, kind of to see what everyone's thinking in terms of year two with the championship game and maybe how that's changed approaches from the coaches. But, you know, overall, I think the new coaching situation and then the big storyline being Penn State.
Just a minute here left with Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network. One of the things that I thought was really cool last year, and it's been going on for a number of years, and you hosted the kickoff luncheon last year where all the coaches are there. You get to ask the coaches something. All 36 players are there. Of course, Kirk Cousins stole the show this year. It's Denard Robinson. I guess when we flew home and leaving that, we were thinking, you know, it might be a good thing this thing's in Chicago, because if it was in Lincoln or Columbus, Ohio, they probably would have to put it, you know, 15,000 people would show up. That is a pretty cool deal.
It is a great deal. Yeah, I mean, it really is an incredible, incredible event. And I have been honored to be a part of it. I've gotten to host it three times, and I kind of host it every other year. And, yeah, it's just amazing. I do think this has not been a great year, obviously, PR-wise, to say the least, for the Big Ten. The Penn State situation has been a mess. It wasn't a great year at Ohio State. But I do think listening to someone like Kirk Cousins, I mean, you do get a sense, and I get to meet all the student-athletes that come through there, and I'm almost invariably impressed by the guys who come through. It really is an impressive group, and it does kind of reassure you to a certain extent that, well, look, across the board, there are still all kinds of problems that you can feel good about some of these young guys who come through. And again, a neat event for the fans and a great city. You know, I'm a Chicagoan. I was born in downstate Illinois, but moved here when I was three and was raised here and love this place. It's fun to show off the city.
Last question. We've been asking everybody to pick their favorites. That's not fair for you to do, but there are some darn good football players every year in the Big Ten Conference, and Monty Ball was on my Heisman ballot last year, and Denard Robinson is up there. Who do you think right now going into the season might be the most dynamic player offensively or defensively?
Well, if the question's most dynamic, I guess it's hard to argue against Denard. You know, he's just, because he's so explosive, because he can change a game in a heartbeat, I'm still interested to see if he's improved at all as a passer this year. And I guess I'd say the same thing about Taylor Martinez, you know, guys who can change a game but really need to become better quarterbacks all around. But again, two great players. Monty Ball clearly had one of the great seasons ever for a running back in the history of college football last year. I put Will Golston on that list for Michigan State. I mean, he really can be a difference maker. He really blew me away, frankly, last year, because we had not been particularly impressed with him in practice. His work habits didn't look so good. He had bad body language. Just kind of felt like it was a talent being wasted. And he went just in the opposite direction. I thought he was fantastic last year. So, look, it's a league full of dynamic players. And, you know, I think it's almost unfair to pick one. But those are a few of them, anyway, who I'll be keeping an eye on.
Well, I know it's time to move on to your next venture, and so Dave, we'll let you move on, and we'll see you in Chicago next week. Always appreciate your time.
Sadly, my next venture, I think, is just eating lunch. I mean, there's nothing really all that spectacular happening here. But I appreciate you framing it. You know, I had something important to do.
Wow.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. See you, Dave. Dave Revson on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Oh, well, it's nice to know that some of our lives are not that different, isn't it?
Just normal like us. That's nice. I like that.
Chris Fowler is doing the lunch this year. But I'm telling you, it kind of blew Daddy and I both away at how pretty cool that whole thing was. I mean, it's nothing more than a big conference center at the McCormick Place in Chicago, any other big corporate lunch that you would have, but this was Big Ten football. And the fans can pay, I think it's $100 a ticket, or, you know, your corporation pays. And before you go in for the lunch, you can go through the line, get your poster for the team, see the players, see the coaches, maybe get some autographs, maybe get a picture. It's like a fan day for everybody. And in fact, folks, I'm just telling you, if you are psycho Husker fan, now not crazy psycho Husker fan.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but
this would be something that I would recommend doing. Yeah, you get to go to Chicago, and it's for about 3 hours, and take in whatever else you can do in Chicago. Take in a game, take in some of the sights, because it's really cool. But that is a maybe kind of an untapped resource for Nebraska fans, because it is pretty darn cool.
You've been in this now, the Big Ten, for 1 year now. Was it a lot more classier than the Big 12?
Uh, just the whole media day thing?
Well, the whole media day. The you know, we're talking with guys now. You know,
well, the tie-ins were all cool.
Yeah.
And talking with folks, because there's a Big Ten network as opposed to there wasn't a Big 12 network, although online they had some stuff, Wendell Barnhouse and Tim Griffin and those guys, all decent to work with. I'm sure there's one or two that we just haven't touched base with. And there's probably a reason. We still need to get somebody on for Indiana tomorrow. But
you want me to? I'll just go down south and just
solidify those contacts. Yeah. But it's still getting used to it. It was a different setup last year. And as I mentioned, there were a third the number of radio stations at Big Ten as there were at Big 12. Sure. And most of those were Nebraska. So that was kind of unusual. So, but still, whatever the case may be. And I don't know, what are you thinking? Everybody asks me, what do you think about Nebraska? What are you thinking about Nebraska?
Well, you know, I think we'll have a better season. I think we're going to have a little more of a idea of what we're getting ourselves into compared to what he said. Like, you know, you're brand new. You don't know these teams. You can't. I just think we're going to be better off than we were last year. I don't think. I'm sorry. I'm a big diehard Husker fan, but we're not going to win the Legends Division. I would like to say that we are. I just don't think we will yet. We have some tough competition. That Michigan team, is to me a class act. I think we have to prove that we can beat that team. Then we might have a good chance. But I just don't see it happening this year.
An update from the British Open, still Adam Scott on top at 6-under. The best on the course, Nicholas Coulthard, has got to 15, and he is 5-under. Tied with Zach Johnson and Paul Laurie. Phil Mickelson continues to struggle. Keegan Bradley, Roy McIlroy are both at 3-under, and that's where Tiger Woods, Graham McDowell, and Bubba Watson all finish. Steve Stricker, he's there again, 2-under through 12. You always see his name somewhere along the line. And, of course, the Cox Classic just a couple of weeks away, and we are going to be keeping up to date on that. I'll tell you more about that and wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show, give you a chance to be a winner. Going into the break from Big Daddy's Deli, as we talked with Scott Powers about Northwestern, they've won one bowl game in the history of Northwestern football, the 1948 Rose Bowl. Who did they beat in the 1948 Rose Bowl? 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. The winner gets a big combo meal to Big Daddy's Deli. We'll be right back.
You know, Greeny, those La Quinta people are geniuses.
How so, Mensa man?
They've got this new instant hold mobile feature that lets you hold a room at the last minute with just one finger and your phone number.
That is really smart.
It's a whole new ballgame, and all you have to do is punch in your phone number using your smartphone.
No credit card number?
Nope.
No mother's maiden name?
No.
No your pet's first name?
No.
No surfing squirrels?
No. Wait, what?
I was just making sure you were paying attention.
La Quinta Inns and Suites take care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next stay on your smartphone at LQ.com.
Get in the zone!
If you're driving around with your check engine light on, you're probably wasting gas. So drive straight to AutoZone now. Our trusted experts will read your trouble codes for free. And once you know what's wrong, they have the advice to help you figure out how to fix it yourself. Or if you'd rather have a pro handle it, we can even recommend a good mechanic with our new shop referral program. Helping you save gas. Because parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
The Open Championship on ESPN Radio. After wins in both June and July, is Tiger Woods ready for his first major win since 2008?
Ball's on its way. Will it fall? He's got it! Fist pump, fist pump!
The British Open, July 21st and 22nd, right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, your home for champions.
As sunny skies continue across the area today, we'll top off at around 100 for a high with southeast winds from 5 to 15. Then we'll stay with a clear sky tonight with a low in the upper 60s with light east winds. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 90.
And the Doug and Daddy Show rolls on here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Had a winner today. Just every once in a while, I like to make people happy.
You are. You are a good man. Listen. You know that?
Yeah. Well, it's better be towards the end of the show before the calls start.
That's
coming,
right. Dude. That's right.
Who was our winner, big fella?
We had Trent. Trent from Oshkosh.
Trent from Oshkosh. Wow. You know, I bring him in from all over the state, you
I
see?
So he knew that California is the only team to lose to Northwestern in a bowl game back in the 1948 Rose Bowl. They have lost nine consecutive bowl games since then. That would be, first, they just never got to any of them. And then when they started to get good under Gary Barnett, and it's not like they've been bad. In 08, they lost to Missouri in overtime. The next year, they lost to Auburn in overtime. Then they lose to Texas Tech by a touchdown. And then last year to A&M, 33-22. So they score a lot of points, but they give up a lot, and that's been Northwestern's problem.
Yeah, but they're on the board. They're there. I mean, the great years under Barnett, and you know, he made Northwestern popular again in football. Right?
Relevant.
Are you going to believe that? Okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, I think
relevant.
So.
Popular.
I think
heck
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
been like being a Cub fan. Someday, something with Chicago. Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox. Irish Ken, Notre Dame fan, says, just to let the listeners know that in order to be allowed to co-host the Doug and Daddy Show, you have to answer a questionnaire.
Oh, yeah.
And if you give a no to questions such as, are you a Tiger Woods fan, you will automatically be blackballed.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So.
Well, I think yesterday Mitch was, and before that, Mike, we've had a lot of people that are Tiger Woods fans, so, and I know you said you were. Now, to the real reason for the email, when Doug and that other guy were trashing Alexis Gordon, and he says, Alexis, when he was sent down to Omaha, Irish Ken kept the faith and predicted Alex would come back. In spite of a position change, he is a gold glover, and in spite of pitchers rarely throwing him strikes and an infield shift, he's hitting well. Irish Ken.
Who's the other guy that trashed him?
I would not know, because I know I didn't trash him.
Wow.
I think I trashed the organization.
Well, that's easy to do because right now the Royals, they really don't have any money, and they get rid of all the good baseball players, but they still have Alex Gordon.
Alex Gordon is a fine human
being. Yes, he is, and he's a very good baseball player.
Folks, we've got a special package on our buyeasyauction.com, and you can just contact us here at the Doug and Daddy Show if you are interested in going to the Cox Classic. We've got a viewing box package for the Cox Classic, which is the 2nd through the 5th of August at beautiful Champions Run. Here's what you get. 2 viewing box passes per day. What do you get in that viewing box package? What do you get in the viewing box? Food, drink, air conditioning.
Okay.
And you get to watch golf right there. And 8 clubhouse tickets for... 8,
wow.
You can use them all on Saturday if you want, or you can use 2 a day the whole time. Complimentary food and beverage inside the viewing boxes. You get all these tickets, and the value of this is over $750. And right now, we will pass that along to you for the low, low price of $300. If you would like it, split it up with your buddies, load up the truck, the car, the van, the SUV, the Hummer, whatever it is, and get on down to Omaha and enjoy some golf. Maybe you all go on one day. Maybe you're there for the weekend. Contact us here. Go to buyeasyauction.com. That's buyeasyauction.com. Or contact us here at the Doug and Daddy Show. Phone number, 888-455-ESPN. Or email us, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. We were talking with Scott Powers about how good the tight end and wide receiver position is. Big Ten blogger Brian Bennett puts Northwestern number 1, Nebraska number 2 on that list.
Really? Well, that's good to know that we're number 2 on that list.
Well, somebody's
yeah, that's good. That's always a good list. I, you can bet that this year's game against Northwestern, the Huskers have that circled really big on their calendar.
At Chicago, they have a whole
47,000 fans that they can seat. And I'm guessing that'll be a sea of red. In Chicago. A couple other notes. We've been telling you how Riley Reinertsen with the British Open going on back to golf. Riley Reinertsen has been doing so many good things. He is tied for the lead in the first American Junior Golf Association tournament he's ever played in. It's at Quarry Oaks, just outside of Ashland. He's tied with Luis Gagne of Orlando, Florida. Through 36 holes, they were 4 under par.
Wow. Yeah.
Going to be a junior in high school. He's
well, yeah,
par,
and that's a tough course. Yeah, and I know.
American Legion Aurora Juniors are headed to state after beating Albion. Palmer Wabak Greeley beat Taylor Burwell Sargent. They're headed to state today. The A6 Juniors get going in Norfolk, involving both Grand Island teams. The B5 Seniors get going in Central City. And Dakin is where the C5 Seniors are at. Hebron, by the way, just for you, Mark, plays at 5:30 today against Utica Beaver Crossing.
And their juniors made it to state, so they're on their way to North Bend for state. So that's great. Hey, thanks for letting me in, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Yeah. Anything else before we leave? Any other shout-outs, any other waves?
No, just hello to everyone down in the southeast in the Hebron-Chester area, and, I mean, it's been great. So thank you. Thank you, folks.
Don't forget British Open coverage Saturday and Sunday morning here on ESPN with baseball in the afternoon, Rangers and Angels Saturday, and then Sunday evening going on as well. Phil Mickelson, 3 over par through 13. He's had a couple of double bogeys, and I believe we just saw Rory McIlroy have to go back to the tee and re-tee. Coverage currently airing on ESPN. I don't re-tee, I just drop.
I was going to say, they won't let you do it on this one.
What's the point? Hey, tomorrow Mike will be back in studio as my co-host, Mark Baldwin. Thanks so much for co-hosting today. We'll see you again soon, buddy. Yeah, also, Scott Powers, ESPN Chicago, to talk Northwestern football, and Dave Remsen from the Big Ten Network. You can pick it all up if you missed any of it on our podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and the Loft. All you have to do is go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Enjoy your warm Thursday, and Cruise Night is here. Have fun, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.